Angela Davis, one of the Black Panthers. She said, I'm no longer accepting the things I cannot change. I'm changing the things I cannot accept.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Call Her Madam podcast.
Hello, everyone. We are so excited about this new series that we're about to release for you guys. We are going to be talking to individuals who ran for public office or are even currently running for public office, and we're going to talk about their experiences, what running was like as a minority individual, but more specifically, what led them to run and what progressive changes they would like to make throughout the United States, specifically in their local, state, and even federal government.
Yeah, so it's so exciting that, you know, we're having so many people take back the power and run for office. I mean, we've seen so many incumbents who have just taken so much money, so much blood money, and they can never just vote on life-saving legislation for the people. You know, it feels like we have people who are in Congress just for the power and not to represent others. I mean, when I think of Congress, when I was learning about it as a kid, I was always thinking that it should be people who, you know, just live in a community and they're like, hey, I know what's wrong with my community and I know what the people in my community like, why don't I run to represent them? And that's pretty much it. And that's what I always thought Congress should be. But as I got like more awakened as an individual in politics and saw how, you know, my senators in my state were unable to pass life-saving legislation when it comes to gun violence prevention and, you know, a terrible mass shooting happened in our community, I realized, you know, these people are just so power hungry. They're not working for the people. They're just working for their pockets. And now I think it's so important. We've seen the surge of people running for office, like the brand new Congress, and AOC is one of them, who challenged such a powerful incumbent. And we're showing that people have so much power. I mean, recently we saw, you know, the people take back the stock market. I mean, that was insane. We literally took down a hedge fund off of Reddit. And that's kind of crazy. And the minute that we did do that, they took the power away from the people. And we realized that the free market really isn't for everybody. And so that's what, you know, Congress has become now. We're realizing that Congress hasn't always been for everybody. And that we've just kind of allowed people to sit there and make decisions for us. But beyond that, it goes just beyond Congress. I mean, we also have like local office, and we don't even realize or bat an eye because we don't think it's that important. It's so important that we focus on local office and not just federal, because that's where a lot of decisions are made and change really happens from the bottom up. So I'm so excited for the series. And I think that like, if you see an issue in your community, you should run for office. And it's something that we don't talk about enough, but I think that Congress should be reflective of doctors and bartenders and, you know, just working class people in general. It should be everybody, because we are America and America is diverse. We're not politicians only. We're not wealthy individuals only. So it's so important that we're representing who our communities are so that we can get shit done.
Yeah, and something that I think is really important that you mentioned was America is diverse. You know, we are not only politicians, we're not only individuals who study business or individuals who study the economy or just like stock market brokers, etc. We are teachers, bankers. We are, for example, also choir members. We are pastors. We are everything that includes what rural and suburban and even city America includes. And I think it's really important, like, if you look at our Congress now, 27% of individuals in the House of Representatives are women, which still seems like a really minuscule number, and it is. But you have to take into account that in the 112th Congress, just, like, five sessions ago, only 96 were women out of the 439 members. From that 112th Congress to what we have now is a 50% increase, which is huge, and it's huge movement towards women. But you know, we're not even halfway there yet. We're only 27%. We're not to the 50% yet, and our work isn't done. But if you know, you mentioned also like AOC is a bartender. She ran against a longtime incumbent who was up next to become to replace Nancy Pelosi as House Speaker. He believed he was set, that AOC had nothing to he had nothing to worry about with AOC, because she was just kind of quote unquote a newbie in politics. And in that one election, she swept him off his feet and won, and has been, and won even like 2018, and had just won. She just became won her incumbency in 2020, which is a huge thing considering, one, she was a bartender who really had very minimal experience with politics, apart from her college experience at Boston College. But apart from that, she's running against somebody who is highly educated, a white man who is Democratic, but is representing a very diverse part of New York City. And he wasn't he is not an entire representation of the entire area, which is why we're seeing like more individuals like Cori Bush, AOC, who are running for office and are winning these seats because the constituents are seeing them as a representation of themselves.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he didn't even live in the district, but we can fact check that. but yeah, I completely agree, Ale. Like, I think that it's so important to have morally just leaders and people who work for us. And right now in Congress, we're seeing conspiracy theorists who are pushing like misinformation. And that's that's a huge issue in our country right now, is this disinformation, especially, you know, towards minority individuals and people just believing that they can't run for office because they think, you know, that they're not smart enough. Well, a woman who just denied that a mass shooting took place and harassed survivors is a congresswoman. So if that doesn't infuriate you, then what does? I mean, I think that that should make you want to run or make you want to elect someone who's morally just, who represents you. And if she can do it, anyone can do it, honestly. I mean, obviously we need to have educated leaders, but we are told that we aren't educated enough. And so we believe that lie. But if you are living the working class experience, if you are seeing what it's like to live paycheck to paycheck, or you have experienced hardship because the failures of your leadership, then why aren't you equipped to run for office? You have experienced it. You know what America can do and what they haven't done for you. So go ahead and take that step and run and be that person for someone just like you who couldn't run for office. Because, you know, honestly, maybe they could be dead because of these failed leadership policies. And so it's so important that if you see that issue, that you are the change.
First, I think it's hilarious. I don't think it's hilarious. I think the entire premise of it is hilarious, that a congresswoman who is supposed to be, not only is she an elected official, she's also supposed to be, at least have some professional attitude towards individuals. She goes out and starts badgering and like following two kids who are 20 and like around 19 years old, I believe, down the street because they survived a mass shooting. She's just in the pockets of the NRA.
Period.
And that's the reality of it. A lot of Congress, I'm not saying everybody, but a lot of Congress officials are in the pockets of mass individuals, specifically the pharmaceutical company. It controls them. As much as we hate to admit it, Disney World controls Congress members, specifically in Florida. And we're seeing this happen and happen over and over again. Like, for example, in Flint, Michigan, it was finally now that all the public office officials who had inadequately dealt with the crisis, they were actually finally held accountable. And it's a huge thing because you're supposed to trust these officials with your vote. You're essentially trusting them with your life. You're not only your actual everyday being of like your home and your environment, but it's also to the economic aspect of it. And whatever they decide to do and they vote on is going to affect you in a detrimental way that it may not even affect them in any way, just because, for example, like Joseph Crowley didn't live in the district where he was running for, right? So he's a congressman for a district he's had no experience in, which I just think is baffling on so many levels.
And I completely agree. Yeah.
I was just going to add, there's so many organizations out there that do look to inspire women, minority individuals, even white men in low income districts to run for office against these longtime incumbents, because there's an entire idea. It goes along with like the uneducation, like the lack of education about our political system. But a lot of people just believe you have to be rich and it takes a lot to run for office. But it does. But there's so many organizations that will help you get there. And with their support, you're able to expand your base and expand your membership and everything that goes into running for office, they're able to help you with, that a lot of people don't even realize. And it's until like one really big effect happens in our community, or it's a spark of a thing that you're like, I want to run for office, I want to do this. And a lot of people do have that desire and do have that vision of doing that in the future. They just don't believe they can do it now because, oh, I'm a 20-year-old running for office against a longtime incumbent who has like a law degree, a college degree, all this stuff. But maybe they don't have the experience. Maybe they don't have the base. Maybe they don't have the story to tell constituents because they haven't gone through what you have, because of lack of leadership is what allowed you to have those experiences. So it's running against these people that you're seeing. We are able to do it. We may be 20, but if we have some mentality, we can do it specifically now more than ever, as we're seeing all throughout, like Cori Bush, AOC.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, I'm so excited. I always say this. In a few years, Gen Z is going to be running for office. And that's so exciting.
Thank God.
I know. We've done so much. And now we're finally going to be able to have that formal seat at the table. And that's so exciting. But like you said, some organizations I think are worth mentioning to shout out when it comes to running for office are Ignite National. They help women run for office. And same with She Should Run. And these are just two organizations that I could personally think of at the top of my head that I like to be involved in. But if you do have any questions about where you can get connected to these organizations, always feel free to email us or DM us on our Instagram, and we will be more than happy to send you those resources as well.
Yeah, you're also seeing, for example, organizations, like you said, like Emily's List, even Latinos Unidos, like they're looking to elect like Latinos into office because we do need more representation. And it becomes important to not only get more educated, but they're also, these organizations are always doing, I always see on my Instagram because I follow all of them because I just love their mission for all of them, that you're seeing they do these training events and like trying to educate the public of like from the financial aspect of running to office to the social aspect, to get how to go door-to-door canvassing and all these things. They might seem minuscule, but once you're actually running to office, you're seeing the huge impact that like a good economic part of the campaign has, or having a strong supporting base, or even having door-to-door canvassing, having one-on-one relationships with constituents, that can get you the vote. That can get you the word of mouth of like Bella or Ale walked into my door, I had coffee with her, talked about why she's running for office, etc. And then I'm going to vote for her. And then I'm going to drive my friends to vote for her. Specifically, if we see minority communities, specifically what Black women, we're seeing that if they're likely to vote for a candidate, they're going to spread that word of mouth. I believe it's 3 times as much as any other group, specifically because they have such a tight-knit community. The religious aspect for a lot of minority communities also tend to be very highly concentrated, and they tend to be very tightly knit, which is just like, bringing up conversation about politics. Who are you voting for? I'm voting for Bella or Ale. Who are you voting for? And it kind of starts this talk, and they kind of start to form a group of individuals who are voting together for that one candidate, and starts the support and starts the movement that might seem, you know, oh, she's voting for me. Okay, that's one vote. But that one person can advocate for you in 30 different spheres, and it can expand your membership. It's like 500, 600 people that you might not even realize.
I completely agree. And that being said, I'm just so excited in general to have this series and to be able to speak with people who have done this work on the ground and get their experiences. And I hope that this could inspire others to run for office, just hearing their stories.
So excited about this series, and we hope that you guys like it as much as we do, and it empowers you to even consider running for office, or to even get more involved in your local politics, because like Bella said, your local politics are the most important. And with that, we hope to see you guys next week.
And I just want to leave us with a quote from the iconic, powerful, intelligent Amanda Gorman that we saw at the inauguration. And she said, "For there is always light, if only we're brave enough to see it, if only we're brave enough to be it."
And I said, "Mom, I am a rich man. You know, it's like I don't have to marry one."